Before I get started, I also want to acknowledge the delegation from Neosho that's here this morning, because I knew we would have guests for the party, but I wasn't sure if any of you'd come for Mass. So we're glad that you joined us. We're grateful for Sister Diane's many years. Oh, and the Mercy Associates are here too. So that's a good thing. Okay, you guys are getting a lot of play this Mercy week, aren't you? This is a good thing. All right. Well, it's good to have everyone here today for a day of celebration. And it is good that we have these days of celebration because they help us to pay attention. Okay? Many years ago, I was privileged to be in visiting Rome, and we had an offer from a priest who was the vicar general of one of the dioceses right outside of Rome, and he worked for the Italian Bishops Conference. And so he had a few inns in Vatican City. And so he had been in Chicago practicing his English, and when my friend Pat and I went to Rome, he invited Pat to take some special tours with him that day on his day off in the city of Rome. And so we got to do a few things we wouldn't have gotten to do otherwise. Little private tours of the Vatican Gardens and some of those kinds of things. We were shameless about taking his offer. Okay? But in there, it was interesting, because he was practicing his English, he had a very quirky way of stating something that the Italians use, regularly in their thing. And the statement is, attenzione, okay? But the way he kept translating it in his English was, pay attention. And every time he did it, he'd point his finger at us and he'd say, pay attention. Because he wanted to show us something. So we'd be a little smoother by saying, if you'll notice here, or, there's something special over here. But no, not for him. It was like, pay attention. And so about noon, I was reacting to it. But the whole first part of the day, I kept, okay, I'll pay attention. I'll pay attention to what it is that you're trying to show me. I'll pay attention to what it is that you see is important here. Have you ever noticed how much trouble we get ourselves in when we don't pay attention? I've got the voice of several sisters in the back of my mind right now saying, pay attention to this, okay? And we were always better off when we did, because we knew what was happening and we knew what was coming. But when we didn't, we were usually in trouble, okay? Never forget the one test Sister Dorothy gave, and she said, now pay attention and follow the directions exactly. And of course, it was, read through this entire test first before you start answering any questions. And you got to the end, and it said, make no other mark on this paper except for your name. And that was the last one. And anybody that didn't listen to the instructions and had any marks on the paper, well, guess what grade they got? A big old F. But when we paid attention and followed the instructions exactly as they were on the page, we got the A pluses. I was a good boy. Okay? But that paying attention makes all the difference in the world. Have you noticed how many times we get ourselves into trouble by not paying attention? I can tell you that all my accidents early on in life, and even later in life, were because I wasn't paying enough attention. My brain was on so many other things that I missed the post sticking out of the ground here. Okay? I wasn't paying attention. And so we had a little body work that needed to be done on the car. Okay? If I wasn't paying attention, if you're heading across the diocese, okay, on Highway 60, and you get into about four different towns along the way where the speed limit changes, if you're not paying attention and you're going the regular normal speed limit, when you go through those four towns, I guarantee you, you're going to get an extra gift for passing the diocese. All right? Paying attention is important. And that's why it's important that we have celebrations like today's, or like what we've been celebrating all weekend. Yesterday, we had the party for all the over 80 members of the parish, okay? We even got in trouble for inviting a few that were a few weeks shy. They were very quick to point out that they were not quite yet 80. But we had several people there. We got over 40 people in the parish in those categories, in their 80s and 90s. And it was great hearing the stories, because what they were remembering and calling to mind for all of us were the good old days when, for example, they had dances every Sunday night downstairs for the young people. I got to hear those stories. And some of them who are married now darn near 70 years were talking about meeting each other, being in grade school together over at Old St. Peter's, and that they've been together ever since. That's why it's important that we hear those stories, because those stories are important, because they help us to pay attention. They help us to remember what's important. And today, I could use all kinds of other examples, but today I want to use the examples of our sisters here, celebrating 40 and 50 years. They should really both be celebrating 50 years, but Sister Diane, like Father Jay, ran afoul of the authorities at some points in time. And so was given the gift, and really now we look back on it and think that they were truly gifts of being out of the seminary for a while, of being out of the convent for a while. But they entered about the same time, all right? But Diane had that little hiatus, and so we're celebrating 40 and 50 today. Sister Joan was a good girl, okay? Or at least she never got caught. Let's just put it that way, all right? But in that context, we're celebrating things that we need to remember. The two of you need to remember during this time where God has been for you through all those years. And that's the beauty of a jubilee. When you look back over life, you look back at all the different places you served. You look back at all the different ways that God has provided for you. You got to forgive me for using that divine providence language, okay? But it works with mercy too, okay? Those moments in God has been merciful to you. There's no doubt. But in divine providence, God continues to provide mercy in our lives. Those moments of grace that were there, not because we earned any of them, but just simply because God was there and gave them to us along the way. And you could each start telling stories now, and we'd be here until midnight or longer if you remembered all the different ways that God has given you grace throughout your years of service. We've just been blessed in the last 10 here, and we can go back a lot longer if we go back to the days in Neosho, okay, and Seneca and Noel, all right, when Diane came to this diocese, and that's when we first met, you know, was years ago, when I was first ordained, and I'd go down for penance services and things like that in those three parishes. And so we look back at those times. I think back to Joan the day we met when we were doing vocation work before you ever came to Joplin. And then I sicked Sister Norbert on her. And you know how that worked. You know how Norbert was like a dog with a bone, okay? She would not let go of anything. And she was bound and determined we were going to have another mercy come and work in these schools. And God love her. You know, Sister Joan said yes. She said yes to that. And we've been the recipient now for the last 10 years. 11? 10. 11. Okay. You know, that we've been blessed to have her still in our schools. That legacy, you know, continues now, you know, 135 years later, as we celebrate life as a family of faith here. And again, stop and think about how many lives would look different if Diane had not heard that call, you know, to serve in the southwest corner of Missouri, or stayed when I tempted her to, you know, to come up the road and do it again some more here. I stop and I think about not just Joan's life for the last 11 years, but think how different our lives would look if the Sisters of Mercy had not received that first invitation 135 years ago to come teach in our schools. Because not only would we not have the schools, we also wouldn't have the hospital. We wouldn't have all those signs of mercy around town. I love it. A lot of people don't know what they're looking at. But when we look at them, we see there's the church, there's life, there's faith at work. That's what we see, and that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the fact that God continues to give us grace. And see, that was the mistake of the people in the scriptures today. Both the people that Amos is scolding and the rich man in the gospel today. Amos is after the people of his day because he keeps saying to them, "You're not paying attention. Attention! Attenzione! You're not paying attention to what's going on in your midst. You're just going to bed on your beds of ivory and everything is great and you think it's all terrific. But it's not terrific because the kingdom is circling the drain and you're not paying any attention and you're not doing anything to try to stop it. You're not trying to do anything in order to get the kingdom to be right with God and to do what God wants. You're just so caught up in yourselves, it's no good." And again, the rich man, his sin wasn't being rich. His sin was not paying any attention. His sin was not noticing that he could do something about Lazarus at his gate because he'd been blessed. That's all it would have taken from the scraps from the table. That's all it would have taken. But because he didn't see what was going on, because he wasn't paying any attention, he couldn't see what was happening right there in front of him. And so I don't want to scold any of you for being good businessmen or women or being, you know, wonderful professionals. Nobody should ever be scolded for being good at what you're good at. Go out there and be that and do it well. But when you do it well, remember that even your ability to do it was given to you by God. And let's pay attention to that and make sure that some of what God made possible for you, we're not ignoring the other people who need it. Who's still at our gates that we might not be seeing? Who are the poor out there? And I'm not just talking about in terms of dollar poor, but maybe soul poor or friend poor or however poor. Who's at our gates that we're not paying any attention to? God needs us to see that. We need to pay attention. What about people whose lives have fallen apart somewhere else? How are we paying attention to them, especially when they're seeking a place of refuge? They're seeking a place of safety. They're seeking a place where their kids aren't conscripted and their children aren't killed. What are we doing about some of that? Are we saying anything? Are we just letting the whole dialogue roll right past us? What are we doing? What are we saying? How are we trying to figure it out and make a difference? Because if we don't do something, if we're not paying attention, nothing's going to happen. And that's one of the reasons why I'm grateful to the two of you and all those who are religious. Because the religious in my life, and I've been blessed with some phenomenal examples, the religious, and you two happen to be among them, but I don't want to make your heads too big, okay? But I am going to say to you, religious life continues to call forth that from all the rest of us. Because of the vows they take of poverty and chastity and obedience. Now, they're not poor. They're educated, so they'll never be poor. Okay? But because they hold it all in common, they use it a different way. They use the resources in a different way. Because of saying, I'm not going to attach my life to any one particular person, but I'm going to attach myself to the whole church, they're free to go and to serve wherever it is that God calls them to go and to serve. And when it comes to that, you know, radical obedience to the gospel, well, let's just say obedience is the one that I always struggle with. So I'm always in awe when people will hold the mystery bigger than they are and go where they're called and where they're sent. They remind us of some of the things that are important. That's what religious life is for in the church. And we need to be grateful for it. We've kind of got like an endangered species right here. Because not many people are listening to that call to serve in that way these days. And so let's be grateful for their call. Let's be rejoicing in the fact that they live among us, because it means that we're privileged. Because do you know how many communities don't have any religious living them anymore? We need to cherish that gift. And I hope you feel cherished for at least from time to time. Okay? But we need to cherish that gift because they remind us of some of the things that we might forget if they weren't sitting here in our midst, reminding us by their presence and by their lives that we need to pay attention. Attenzione. Pay attention. Let us not end our lives with God looking at us and saying, why didn't you do something about this or that or the other? And the only words we could muster to say to God would be, I just didn't notice. Let's pray for vision that God will help us to notice and then give us the grace to act.